Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, May 7th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Beijing sends its top negotiator to Washington despite tariff threats from the White House.
Stocks in China gain while Japanese equities slide on their first day back in action.
And the bidding war for Anadarko kicks up a notch. Now it's Chevron's turn to respond.
Treasury Secretary Mnuchin refuses to release President Trump's tax returns. Plus, A.G. Barr agrees to talk to a top committee Democrat after last week's no-show. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets were shut out in San Diego. The Yankees beat Seattle. Playoff wins for Milwaukee and Houston in the NBA. Boston and Colorado in the NHL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning as Treasury yields rise and the dollar holds steady. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 14 points, Dow futures down 118, NASDAQ futures down 40. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is down about 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down about 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.5%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.47%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6%, or 38 cents at $61.87 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.20 to $12.82.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1203 against the dollar. The yen 110.59. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin with the latest on U.S.-China trade talks and word from Beijing that its top negotiator, Vice Premier Liu He, will visit the White House this week, despite the threat of higher tariffs from the White House. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has the very latest from Beijing.
We have confirmation that China's Vice Premier Liu He will be going to Washington with this delegation of around 100 different officials and business leaders here from China to Washington 9th and 10th of May, which suggests to some that this increase in tariffs are potentially negotiable, because it would seem unlikely to some analysts looking at this that Liu He would go back to Washington if these tariffs were not negotiable.
Now, there were questions about whether China's top negotiators would make the trip this week after President Trump announced plans to raise tariffs on Chinese goods.
And those new levies go into effect at 12:01 a.m. Friday after U.S. negotiators said they've seen an erosion of commitments by Beijing. Max Baucus is former U.S. ambassador to China.
President Trump, Secretary Mnuchin, and Robert Lighthizer really do not have a lot of experience in negotiating with the Chinese. They're kind of green about all this, frankly. And my experience is that with China, there's a lot of talk. Sometimes they'll backtrack. Sometimes not. Just the way it is, you stick with it. You got to be patient, positive, persistent, stick with it. And after a while, you kind of get a deal.
President Trump is also dangling the threat of additional levies that would hit virtually all imports from China.
Turning to markets now, it's a mixed picture for stocks in Asia today following those latest trade developments. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann joins us from Hong Kong with details. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese markets saw a late-day bounce. The CSI 300 ended the day up 1%, climbing back from the worst sell-off in 3 years. The Nikkei fell 1.5% after returning from the 10-day Golden Week holiday. As investors play catch-up with the negative trade headlines, the KOSPI was also lower by 0.9%. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thank you. In Turkey, stocks are sliding and the lira is weakening after the country ordered a rerun of local elections in Istanbul. Bloomberg's Simen Demirkan reports.
Turkey is set to hold a new municipal vote in Istanbul June 23rd, giving President Recep Tayyip Erdogan the rerun he demanded after the ruling AK Party lost power in Turkey's biggest city, claiming voter irregularities in the previous vote. In Istanbul, Simen Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Simen. And back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is staying the course, with Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan telling us interest rates are in the right place.
I don't have a bias toward the next move being up or down for the moment. I think we're in the right place. I think we're in the neighborhood of neutral. And so I'm going to keep an open mind and watching how the economy unfolds before making a judgment either way.
And we'll get more from the Fed today when Vice Chairman Richard Clarida sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. You can catch that conversation on Bloomberg Radio and television at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
And turning to corporate news now, we have another development in the bidding war for Anadarko Petroleum. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, after rebuffing prior bids, Anadarko is now accepting a sweetened $38 billion offer from Occidental. That leaves Chevron at the altar a month after Anadarko agreed to be purchased by Chevron. The takeover, Anadarko, has been a rare public fight for an oil industry that hasn't seen many bidding wars. Occidental's chief executive officer's recruitment of Warren Buffett and an $8.8 billion deal to offload African oil and gas fields to Total appear to have been the key milestones in winning the board's favor. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. In Germany, shares of BMW are down 2% after the company's automotive division swung to loss for the first time in a decade. BMW is also setting aside $1.6 billion to cover allegations over collusion on cleaner emission cars. Bloomberg's Sam Unstead has more.
They took a new legal provision this morning. That is a very big reason as to why their profit has fallen this quarter. But there are a whole host of other reasons. The tariff pressures are still hitting them, but they are still sticking to that things are going to get better as the year goes on. New models coming out, they think that those are going to do well. So their outlook has been maintained. So we'll see how things progress for the year for BMW.
Earnings at the carmaker's main unit fell by 42% in the first quarter as price competition and spending on new technology cut into profit.
And coming up later today, Lyft reports earnings for the first time since going public. Here with more on results from the ride-hailing company, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Lyft's share of the American ride-sharing market will likely be a focus of the earnings call. Investors may learn that the share is around 30%, not the 39% stated in Securities and Exchange Commission filings. Lyft is likely a long way from profitability. Forecasts are for the company to post an adjusted loss of $14.64 a share on revenue of $737 million. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures are falling down about 16 points this morning. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Hey, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's happening around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. President Trump's Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is refusing to turn over the president's tax returns to the House in spite of federal law. Mnuchin says the request by the House Ways and Means Committee chairman lacks a legitimate legislative purpose. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois says he agrees with the decision.
The reason they want President Trump's tax return is to go through it and to try to further embarrass him.
Democratic Congressman Jim Himes of Connecticut.
This is a huge question for everybody in this country, which is, are we going to be a nation of laws? And you can believe that the president shouldn't have to produce his tax returns voluntarily. You can believe that the Congress is harassing the president of the United States. But the law, it could not be more clear here. And so this is really the fundamental issue is, are we going to allow the president to blatantly ignore the law?
Democrats could either subpoena the IRS for the returns or file a lawsuit. With a contempt vote looming, Attorney General Barr has agreed to talk with House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler. The agreement was yesterday. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The agreement happened just hours after Nadler scheduled a vote to hold A.G. William Barr in contempt of Congress for failing to provide a fully unredacted version of the Mueller report. Nadler saying, quote, I'm pleased that the Department of Justice has agreed to meet with my staff tomorrow and not Wednesday afternoon as originally proposed by the DOJ, adding, at the moment, our plans to consider holding Attorney General Barr accountable for his failure to comply with our subpoena will stand. Nadler says it is imperative the committee see the full unredacted report. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo canceled a visit to Berlin today at short notice, citing pressing issues. President Trump's top diplomat was due to meet with Chancellor Angela Merkel and Foreign Minister Heiko Maas. South Korea says the weapons North Korea launched over the weekend traveled into the stratosphere and flew at a distance long enough to strike deep into South Korean territory. Two Reuters journalists jailed for breaking Myanmar's Official Secrets Act have been freed from prison. The two reporters were convicted after their coverage of Myanmar's crackdown on minority Rohingyas. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. It's now time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshire.
Nathan, here we go again with Jacob deGrom. Pitching well and the Mets not scoring any runs when he's on the mound. Happened throughout last season. Happened last week. He hurled seven scoreless innings. The Mets lost 1-0. It happened last night in San Diego. DeGrom went seven, gave up just two runs. The Mets, though, were shut out and lost 4-0. The Padres' 23-year-old rookie Chris Paddock struck out 11, allowed only four hits, and the Mets have lost four in a row. Yankees have won 12 of the last 16, started a four-game series with Seattle, winning 7-3 at the stadium. All the runs came over the first three innings. Homers for Luke Voit, Brett Gardner, and rookie Tyro Estrada. CC Sabathia got the win. NBA playoffs, the Warriors and Rockets had that epic seven-game series last year. They couldn't be headed for another one just like that. Both teams have now won two close games at home. Houston last night led by 17. Then the Warriors had two chances to tie, but both Kevin Durant and Steph Curry missed three-pointers, and the Rockets won 112-108. James Harden, 38 points against Steve Kerr's Warriors.
It's tough to handle. Obviously, he's a great player and has a lot of ways to score and get to the rim, and so we've just got to stay with it. But you know, I think we've done this plenty of times, so we know what we have to do.
Earlier, Milwaukee won Game 4 at Boston, 113-101, 39 for Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks are in control going home, up 3-1. Stanley Cup playoffs will be Boston against Carolina in the East Finals. The Bruins won 3-0. They finished off Columbus in six games. Colorado then stayed alive, taking Game 6 over San Jose 4-3 in overtime. So they'll play Game 7 tomorrow. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. And the most controversial ending in Kentucky Derby history was the winning ticket for NBC. It tied for the most watched Derby on the network since it started televising it in 2001, averaging 16.5 million viewers, a 10% increase over last year. That was the year eventual Triple Crown winner Justified captured the Derby. Futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. China's top trade negotiator will visit the U.S. this week, despite President Trump's plan to hike tariffs on Friday. The confirmation comes after reports that China considered delaying this week's talks. Steven Mnuchin is refusing to release the president's tax returns. The move by the Treasury Secretary sets up a likely legal showdown with Congress. Chevron has 4 days to abandon or improve its $33 billion offer for Anadarko. That's after Anadarko accepted Occidental's sweetened $38 billion bid. And a Fed rate cut wouldn't impact inflation pressures. That's according to Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, who tells us he expects inflation to remain muted. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures down 15 points. The Dow futures down 127. NASDAQ futures down about 45. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.47%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 35 cents to $61.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1 to $12.82.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.1202 against the dollar. The yen 110.58. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a House committee is moving closer to holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt for refusing to comply with a subpoena for an unredacted copy of the Mueller report. However, Barr has agreed to talk with House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler today. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo canceled a visit to Berlin today on short notice. The State Department says the meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Foreign Minister Heiko Maas was scrubbed due to pressing issues. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals and Giants. The Orioles beat the Red Sox 4-1. NBA playoffs, the Celtics on the brink of elimination after losing to the Bucks. The Warriors lost to the Rockets. That series is now at 2-2. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins beat the Blue Jackets to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Avalanche beat the Sharks in overtime 4-3 to set up a deciding Game 7. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
It's 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Lyft, scheduled to report its first quarter results after the market close. The shares of the ride-hailing company are now down 13% from their late March IPO. And joining us this morning, Mandeep Singh, senior analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, to walk us through it, what we can expect. Now, Mandeep, I'm a little confused. I thought their share of the market was somewhere around 39%. Is we getting a little more clarity on that today?
Especially, you're right. They laid out that they have a 39% share in the U.S., but when you look at Uber's numbers, it reflects a somewhat different story. We think Uber is somewhere around 65 to 70% share in the U.S. and Canada. So
Lyft couldn't possibly have near 40%.
Exactly. And so probably the numbers and the report today will shed more light on that. And the other thing is, you know, Uber seems to be doing very well in the U.S. So I don't know if Lyft can continue to gain market share in the U.S. simply because Uber seems to have gotten its act together under this new leadership. And they seem to be doing very well, you know, in these core markets, the U.S., Canada, and, you know, the other growth markets that they are in. So our view is their top line, Lyft's top line, will probably decelerate. Their revenue grew 100% last year. It's going to probably decelerate to around 50%. But even that is pretty good. The problem for Lyft is the expense line. And that's where investors will probably want to see, you know, some improvement in payment processing cost or, you know, other operational costs which are too high for a company, you know.
Okay, now how do they increase revenue per ride? You just mentioned a couple there, but do they pay their drivers less? How do you figure that?
Yeah, so their take rates seem to be improving, and what they're doing is probably gaining some efficiencies over there by paying their driver less, cutting on the subsidies. That's a big one. They were subsidizing a lot of rides previously. They're not doing that anymore, so they're cutting subsidies to both riders and drivers. But again, I don't think the take rates is the problem. The problem is they can't grow the number of rides per rider simply because, you know, on an average, a rider takes about 3 to 4 rides per month, and that's not going to increase dramatically until Lyft gets into another business like food delivery, which is what Uber is doing to drive up the number of rides. So Lyft hasn't gotten into food delivery yet, but we'll be waiting if they eventually venture there.
Okay, I should parenthetically, you mentioned the take rate. That's the revenue divided by gross bookings. So food delivery, is that going to be some sort of magic bullet for Lyft?
Well, it's been a magic bullet for Uber. So if you look at Uber's financials, their ride-sharing growth has decelerated to high single digits. So the way they are going to make up, or they are doing well, is by leveraging on the food delivery side, and that's what driving up their growth rate. So food delivery is a very fragmented market, and it is a big market like ride sharing. So when you think about transportation industry as a whole, it's got all these different pockets of growth. And I think for a company like Lyft, just relying on ride sharing isn't going to be good enough for the long term.
And, of course, Uber isn't the only competition. You have Waymo, Google, even traditional auto sector also getting in and potentially autonomous vehicles. Mandeep, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Mandeep Singh is the senior analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, after the close of regular trading in New York today, we get earnings from Lyft after their IPO, and share ride of the ride hailing market, their share will be a close focus for analysts. We're expecting a loss of somewhere around $14.64 a share from Lyft on revenue of about $737 million. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:25 on Wall Street, and futures are pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down nearly 15 points. Dow futures down 124. NASDAQ futures down 44 points. This is Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower, but off their worst levels of the session following the latest developments involving U.S.-China trade talks. A few hours ago, China confirmed its top trade negotiator, Liu He, would attend negotiations in Washington on Thursday. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
China's response to the threat of additional U.S. tariffs is now firmly in focus, and officials here may feel compelled to retaliate if the U.S. ramps up duties on Chinese goods. A scuppered trade deal could also prompt a more aggressive policy response. Bloomberg Economics expects additional stimulus if a trade deal falls apart. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Anadarko's board has declared Occidental Petroleum's sweetened $38 billion takeover superior to Chevron's. It's giving Chevron 4 days to either boost its offer or walk away from the oil industry's biggest deal in at least 4 years.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan says interest rates are in the right place and don't need to be lowered, although he tells us weak inflation merits close watching.
I think we're just going to have to monitor this very carefully, but I'm not inclined at this point to lower the Fed funds rate to address it.
And we'll get more info from the Fed today when Vice Chairman Richard Clarida sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. You can catch that conversation on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Shares of BMW are down 1.6%. The company's automotive division swung to a loss for the first time in a decade, hurt by slumping car prices and a legal provision over alleged collusion that ballooned to $1.6 billion.
Shares of American International Group are up more than 6% in early trading. Profit at the insurer topping analyst estimates, breaking a six-quarter streak of misses.
And Lyft is among more than 20 companies reporting earnings today. It's the ride-hailing company's first since going public.
S&P futures are down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 120. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5% right now. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 2.47%. The yield on the 2-year 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 29 cents at $61.95 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 0.1% on a dollar to $1,282.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1198 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.3084 and the yen is at 110.61. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin refused to release President Trump's personal and business tax returns to House Democrats. The rejection of House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal's request for 6 years of the president's returns opens the door for Democrats to pursue more forceful measures such as issuing a subpoena or filing a lawsuit. Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu of California.
There is a statute on the books that very clearly says that the tax returns of the president shall be provided to the House Ways and Means Chairman if he so requests, and our chairman has made that request.
Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois says the committee's request is politically motivated.
This is now compelling the president to release his tax return, which is not a requirement of being president. Sure, it's been a tradition, but it's not a requirement. And now Ways and Means has basically said, we want this information. They did not provide a good reason for it, so it's not based on something specific.
Attorney General William Barr has agreed to talk with House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler. It happened just hours after the committee agreed to move forward to decide whether to hold Barr in contempt for refusing to produce the full unredacted version of the Mueller report. Two Reuters journalists have been freed from prison after they were convicted of breaking Myanmar's Official Secrets Act over reporting on security forces' abuses of Rohingya Muslims. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says not so fast about running for the White House. Last week, there were numerous reports that de Blasio was going to announce his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination this week. Last night, de Blasio told New York One that those reports were wrong, and he's still deciding.
Is this the night you let us know when you're going to run for president? If you're going to run
not
for
Not the night, no.
Not the night.
Not the night and not the week.
Not the week, okay.
Yeah,
that, okay, so you confirmed that. Okay.
There was a story that assumed a specific thing that never was. We said you can't have an announcement before there's a decision.
The State Department says today's meeting between Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Berlin has been canceled due to pressing issues. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, even with a couple of players coming back like Clint Frazier last night, the Yankees still have 12 on the injured list, but they've also won 12 of their last 16 games. They beat the Mariners at the stadium 7-3. Luke Voit got him going. Two-run homer with nobody out in the first inning. His 10th, Brett Gardner homered. So did rookie Tyro Estrada. All three were hit off Seattle's Felix Hernandez. Estrada is from Venezuela, so his first Major League homer comes off Hernandez, who's a legend there. CC Sabathia got the win. Talked about what's going on these days in the Bronx.
We have dealt with so many injuries and, you know, so much stuff going on this season so far. It's early, but just the grit for this team and, you know, the way we bounce back and, you know, don't hang our heads. Next man up, you know, whoever's out there is going to get the job done for us, and we all feel that. So it's been fun.
Not so fun for the Mets in San Diego. Only four hits. They lost 4-0. The Padres' Chris Paddock looking like the rookie of the year. His ERA is 1.55. He struck out 11. He beat Jacob deGrom. The Mets have lost 4 in a row, 9 of the last 12. NBA playoffs, Houston held on, beat Golden State 112-108. James Harden, 38 points in the win. Kevin Durant had 34. Steph Curry, 30 in defeat. The series is tied at 2. Milwaukee got 39 from Giannis Antetokounmpo and won 113-101 at Boston. The Bucks, best regular season record in the NBA, and now 7-1 in the playoffs, 4-0 on the road, and they're up 3-1. On the Celtics. The better news for Boston, the Bruins won 3-0 at Columbus. They win that Stanley Cup playoff series in six games, advance to the East Finals against Carolina. There'll be two game sevens in the West. Dallas at St. Louis tonight. Colorado at San Jose tomorrow. The Avalanche stayed alive late last night, winning 4-3 in overtime. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump has reportedly rejected a waiver of the Jones Act, the law that requires vessels built in the U.S. and owned and operated by Americans to move cargo between U.S. ports for shipments of liquefied natural gas. The White House is said to be leaning in favor of the waiver. This would have speeded the delivery of cheaper and cleaner energy from the U.S. mainland to Puerto Rico. It would have helped consumers tap into the U.S. natural gas boom by providing a safe alternative to overloaded pipelines and reduce their use of imported gas. And it could have helped to sink the Jones Act. Ships that comply with this law cost more to build and operate than foreign flag counterparts. Those costs make it more attractive to buy bulk goods from foreign suppliers. They also keep more trucks on the road. The Jones Act was meant to help our merchant marine, but the number of U.S. flagged ships has plunged. Meanwhile, the cargo carried by coastal shipping, far more carbon efficient than trucks or rail, has declined. The act is no longer working. The administration should reconsider. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Good morning, John Tucker.
Good morning, Nathan. For National Small Business Week, the personal finance business website Wallet Hub is coming up with a list of best places to start a business. Now, they looked at 100 cities across the country using 19 key metrics. The metrics include 5-year survival rate to the affordability of office space. The best city in the U.S. in which to start a business, according to Wallet Hub, Orlando, Florida. Elsewhere, Toledo, Ohio, they have the lowest average annual rent for office space, $1,193 per square foot, which is 6.7 times cheaper than San Francisco, the city with the highest. Detroit has the lowest labor cost, median annual income, about $27,000, which is 4.4 times lower than in Fremont, California, the city with the highest at $123,000. Laredo, Texas has the lowest cost of living index, which is about 2.5 times lower than in San Francisco, the city with the highest. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Nathan.
All right, tough to break into the Bay Area. Thank you, John. It is 6:40 now on Wall Street. And coming up today, the U.S. Labor Department issues its job openings report for March, adding context to the government's monthly payroll data. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Economists surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting job openings rose to 7.4 million in March after falling in February to the lowest in almost a year. Bloomberg Economics says the year-end stock market rout probably curbed Wall Street recruiting. Also on today's economic calendar, Federal Reserve data on consumer credit in March. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Looking ahead to the open on Wall Street, futures pointed lower. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 117. NASDAQ futures down 43 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says no thanks to releasing President Trump's tax returns. We get more from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. This is Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure again today on trade worries. Dow futures down 121 points. S&P's dropped 14, while the NASDAQ futures declined by 44. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.48%. Oil is down, and Japan fell 1.5% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 7 o'clock, Dallas Fed's Kaplan speaks in Beijing. At 10 o'clock, Jolt's job openings, and at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. After the bell last night, AIG EPS beat estimates. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Ferrari revenue beat estimates and Regeneron missed estimates. Wrapping things up, Fluor was downgraded to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Boeing was downgraded to equal weight at Barclays. And WageWorks downgraded to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has denied congressional Democrats' request for 6 years of President Trump's tax returns. Mnuchin wrote that the request lacks a legitimate legislative purpose, and therefore the department is not authorized to release the returns. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo canceled a visit to Berlin today at short notice, citing pressing issues that forced him to pull out of talks with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals and Giants. The Orioles beat the Red Sox. NBA playoffs, the Celtics, they are on the brink of elimination after losing to the Bucks 113-101. The Warriors lost to the Rockets, and that series is now tied at 2 games apiece. NHL playoffs, the Bruins beat the Blue Jackets 3-0 to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Avalanche beat the Sharks in overtime 4-3, and that sets up a deciding Game 7. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, salad lovers beware. Tomato prices are set to take off as a U.S. supply pact with Mexico expires today, triggering import duties of more than 17%.
Ooh.
Arizona State says that the university says that they may send prices soaring up to 85%.
Yow.
Wonder if they can catch up.
Oh, stop it.
Nathan, they will be especially pricey from October to June when Florida output slows.
That's fine, Michael. I can eat my french fries without ketchup. It's all right. Hey. As long as bacon prices stay okay, because you can still do a BLT without the tea.
Hey, if anybody needs to eat a salad, it's me. Global News, 24 hours a day on air. And at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I like ranch. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Let us move on to the next segment, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The top stories in our nation's capital include trade talks continuing with China despite a tariff threat. Vice Premier Liu He is still planning to come to Washington at the end of the week. The Senate Judiciary Committee holds a hearing today on prescription drug prices, and First Lady Melania Trump celebrates the first anniversary of her Be Best anti-bullying initiative later this morning at the White House Rose Garden. Also making news today, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin refusing to release President Trump's tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee. For more on that, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. I guess this shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, Kate, considering that the Treasury Secretary has been resisting this move for some time.
Yeah, I think the news of it is not necessarily surprising. However, it kind of just sort of sets up this next round here in terms of this fight. And I think what it means is that we're looking at potentially a very protracted court fight between the Treasury Department and congressional Democrats, or the executive branch and congressional Democrats, over this issue. It's certainly something that I don't think Democrats are going to drop anytime soon. And the Trump administration doesn't seem to be showing any wiggle room or any signs that it's backing down on its side as well.
In the meantime, is there anything more that House Ways and Means can do to try to compel Mnuchin to release the returns?
I mean, the question is now whether they try to issue formal subpoenas to try to compel the returns. But I think the question of whether or not that's something that the Treasury Department would have to comply with is an open one. And so that's where we would kind of potentially see the legal battle play out.
Yeah, which sets up the court fight. So how does this play out? I mean, is this just going to go on for months and months? Does it carry on into the 2020 election, in which, of course, President Trump didn't release his tax returns, in 2016, and, his supporters didn't seem to mind that?
Well, exactly. I wouldn't expect him politically. There's really no reason for him to necessarily back away from this position heading into 2020. If anything, there's a reason for him to dig in. I think what we will see, though, is that we've already begun to see a number of Democrats who are looking to challenge Trump release their tax returns, even when in some cases some of what those returns have revealed haven't been necessarily politically beneficial to those candidates. For instance, Bernie Sanders, we know that he's someone that champions the, working class. But since his first run for president off of the proceeds of his speaking tours and his book, he's now a millionaire. And so in some ways that doesn't play into his narrative, but he has released voluntarily those returns. And so I think, again, that underscores that Trump is really the anomaly here. It was, very common. Obama released his returns when he was in the White House. A lot of other previous candidates, Mitt Romney being a notable exception, were, quick to release their tax returns. And so I think that the pressure will continue to be on Trump, and Democrats will continue to beat that drum. But I wouldn't really expect him to change his position.
Is that pressure going to continue in some of the other legal avenues that are being pursued, like in the Southern District of New York, where you would think that the president's tax returns and his business returns would be pretty vital in their investigations into the Trump business?
Well, absolutely. The thing, though, is that the Southern District has to be very careful to look as though they're not. Now that this is becoming a political issue on Capitol Hill, or it's been a political issue, but now that it's even more in the forefront, I think the Southern District has to be very careful to look as though they're above board in terms of the politics of this. And so while, they may get access at certain points to Trump's tax returns and they may have the legal recourse to do that, when and if that becomes public, I think will be very carefully guarded by the Southern District.
All right. Let's move on to the other disclosure battle, the main one happening in the House Judiciary Committee, where they're trying to get Attorney General William Barr to release the unredacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Are we headed to a contempt vote tomorrow?
We very well could be. Now, we saw a bit of a backing off or a bit of easing of tensions last night when it looked as though the Justice Department said that they would reengage essentially with talks with the committee to try to find some kind of a solution. Now, Gerald Nadler, the committee chairman, is saying, just beware that if we don't find the solution, we're still going to proceed with this contempt vote. But that was kind of a promising sign in terms of the potential to avert a contempt vote, which would be a pretty serious step in that direction. Also, I mean, I think it's just worth noting that this is yet another issue. You know, we have not just Ways and Means, but Judiciary engaged in these very high-profile showdowns with the Trump administration. These are just two of the most high-profile showdowns between Congress and the White House that we're seeing play out this week. But there are others as well, and this is a real kind of emerging narrative that I would expect to continue very strongly through the election.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the main sticking point for the Justice Department is grand jury testimony that's in this report, right?
Yeah, so that is one of the one of several categories that Barr said he was going to redact, the Justice Department was going to redact from the version of the report. And I think it's also important to remember that there is an unredacted version that's available for lawmakers to view on Capitol Hill, but what they want is a more broad release of the unredacted version. And I think that, you know, grand jury testimony has been considered a very legitimate reason for redaction. And so I think that that's something that, you know, the Justice Department seems to be on fairly secure footing on that. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so we'd have to see how that all played out.
In our last 30 seconds here, if indeed Barr is held in contempt, what's the impact of that? What does that mean?
Well, you know, that we saw Attorney General Eric Holder. There was a contempt vote on him when he was Attorney General. And so I think that, you know, it means that he could face legal repercussions if he doesn't comply with what Congress wants him to do. And so it would be a significant step, not an unprecedented step, but I think one that is intended to essentially nudge the Attorney General in the direction of cooperating with Congress by sort of wielding a stick rather than a carrot.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
A group of ExxonMobil shareholders has launched a proxy fight against the oil giant's directors after failing to get a climate proposal onto the ballot for the company's annual meeting. The New York State Common Retirement Fund and the Church of England said they would vote against all Exxon directors at the company's annual meeting May 29th, and they've urged other shareholders to consider doing the same. In a filing, the group said Exxon's inadequate response to climate change constitutes a serious failure of corporate governance. The investors also urged shareholders to vote in favor of proposals for an independent chairman, the establishment of a climate change board committee, and a report on lobbying. A company spokesman said the full board holds at least one session each year dedicated to climate issues. New York State's pension fund holds about 10 million shares of Exxon and has faced pressure from state lawmakers and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to divest its holdings of Exxon and other fossil fuel companies. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Patrice, thank you. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 156. And NASDAQ futures down 54. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.47%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.28%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 1% or 60 cents at $61.65 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% this morning, down $1.40. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.